Manchester City. Liverpool led by a wonder goal from Dominic Szoboszlai with the free kick. After a really disappointing first half performance, Liverpool up the ante in the second. There was only one team in it. Ekitike twice had glorious opportunities. One, a free header from Asala, 1-2. He probably should have done better with than head wide. But a free kick, and this was arguably better than the one against Arsenal. What a goal. The crowd responded to Liverpool's second half. But then after that, we sat back a little bit. We invited pressure. Haaland, who had probably only three touches in the second half, assisted one, scored one, flicked on a cross. We were caught trying to play offside. No one went with Bernardo Silva, who scored. Then right at the end, we're pushing for a winner. But then a loose ball on the right-hand side in the box. Alisson comes charging out of his goal. It's a rush of blood. He takes out Nunez. Penalty. Haaland scores the winner. Then right at the end, Szoboszlai. Straight red card when Alisson went up front. Really bad day this, it's turned out. Liverpool 1, Manchester City 2.
A tough one to take at Anfield this evening as Liverpool were beaten 2-1 by Manchester City after a dramatic and rather strange finale to the game. Thanks for joining us on The Reaction. I'm Mark Benstead, and coming up in the show, we'll be getting the thoughts of the Liverpool boss, Arne Slot. But let's kick off by heading down pitchside for analysis from former Reds, Phil Thompson and Gary Gillespie. Gary, what's your overriding emotion at full-time today?
Well, one of shock, one of disappointment, one of disbelief in many ways. I thought first half performance wasn't that good. I don't think either team were like that special. Manchester City were probably just slightly better than us. Second half, I thought we came out, we kind of made a go of it a little bit. The crowd got behind us and we looked kind of half dangerous. But then when we get the goal, then for me, we didn't have enough calmness in possession of the football. I think we ended up about the 80th minute onwards, I think we were just like clearing the lines basically, and like there was wave and wave of attack coming back on us. And I kind of felt it was inevitable that something that was going to happen. And unfortunately, it did. And then what happened in the end was just like, it was balmy. Is it a penalty? From sat where we were in the stand, it looked as if he did make contact with the player. Was he getting the ball? No, he wasn't getting the ball. He wasn't going to cause any like danger. But, you know, the letter of the law, it probably is a penalty. And then obviously the fiasco at the end was very much, well, in many ways typical of the game a little bit. I don't think either team played at their best. It was all a little bit frantic at times. And, you know, as I say, it wasn't a classic Manchester City-Liverpool game, as we were talking about in the build-up to the game. It wasn't one of them. It was a bit bitty. I think the overall thing is like a ride of disappointment, isn't it? Like losing the game again in the dying minutes.
Very much so. It was, the first half was very bitty. And if you looked at it, it was quality of what we were talking about in the games of the past. This wasn't here, the quality of it. You could see two teams who were having a difficult time of it this year. That's what the first half played out. Who was the better of the two teams? Probably Man City. They had sort of more possession, probably had more shots at goal. But then you're looking at the second half and you see us building up momentum. I just felt that at given times, I know it was a wonder goal, which we'll come to, but there was a times when we could have picked the right pass. When we had 3v3 or even 4v3 at times, we picked the wrong pass. Especially Ekitike, when he heads one past the post, for instance. If they'd have gone inside right to Wirtz, he was straight in on goal. But it had to go to Salah first, who then crosses it. It was the choices at times. I think we could have made things a lot easier for ourselves. But it's so disappointing when you've worked so hard to score a goal like that, which breaks the deadlock. If it was one of those games where you went, it was going to take something a worldie to win the game.
Yeah, having had a better showing in the second half, having got ahead through a moment of brilliance by Dominic Szoboszlai, from that position, should we have the wherewithal to see it out then?
Well, that's been the problem, Mark. It's been a big problem. I'm listening to Aldo getting it. Is it the first, second, third, eighth, ninth, seventh,
six or whatever he was conceded. Going?
Which have cost us dearly. And that's game management. It's what people say is game management now. We've lost that. People say, oh, well, you won so many games. Five games start of the season, last-minute goals. But that's, we haven't seen one of them for a long time. We've lost now too many. So we're not seeing games out in the right manner, and it's been very, very costly.
I've spoken to Ray Houghton many times at the away games in particular, but also, and he's made the point about the fact there's times in matches where sometimes you have to say, look, a point's not a bad result. And given the way the end of the game had gone, given the fact they got themselves level, is there an argument that tonight is one of those occasions? You see, you know what? We don't need to go hell for leather and throw everything at it to try and win it. Or was this one where you say, you know, given the stakes, it was worth it?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because like in the build-up, we are saying that we really need to win this game, don't we? Because like a draw, well, it's a little bit iffy, a draw, isn't it? Like I think 3 points were key. The fact that Chelsea and Manchester United like won at the weekend, so it's a hard one to put your finger on that. But yes, I think, I mean, Ray's obviously very like he's correct in like saying that. Sometimes there is games when you just got to like take what you've got. I didn't feel that was the case. Like especially here at Anfield, I think you've got to go and try and get the winner.
That's the thing, Gary. It's Anfield. It's demands of the people. You've got to sort of go for it. But that's where the game management comes in. You have people at the back who get organised. There's a little bit of hell going on in front of you. But you make sure you keep the back door locked. And that's where we've been ball watching. You know, and that's the things. And you win the ball in the right areas to make sure that you do that, you do your job. Not only physically, you win your battles. But then you get people organised around you where you don't get caught out. And I think that's where we have... yes, this game, but in the other games that have gone before, we should be better organised.
It feels like for so long, under Jürgen and under Arne last season, we were the masters of chaos. If a game got chaotic in the closing stage and one team was going to win it, it was going to be us. It feels like this season, that's flipped. If a game becomes chaotic, we are at our most vulnerable. Is that down to that lack of responsibility, if you call it that? Or is it just if you gamble so often, there will become a point when it catches up with you? And maybe we're just seeing that. We're getting the other end of it now.
Mark, I was telling you about Arsenal, about set pieces and them scoring goals and getting away with it and winning so many games. Just that can flip and you can lose that. And it's the same with us. We couldn't go for five, as we did in the first five games, with late goals in each game to win it. That can't happen, and that doesn't happen. So what you have to do when you get into those later stages of games, you have to be a voice. You have to make sure, and if it is Virgil, you have to make sure that we're doing our jobs. And it can go like that. It did get all scattergun in the end, and we were all over the place, and it looked like we probably could lose a third, which we'll debate what happened. But we have to be organised better. We have to be. There has to be a couple of cool heads on the pitch.
Yeah, I think cool heads is like the key. I said like before, I think we got a little bit edgy in like the fact that you've got to retain the ball. If you're under a lot of pressure, you've got to be able to retain the ball, and we weren't able to do that. We were like a little bit frantic in making clearances, but we're just basically clearing the lines. Now that's not Liverpool. That's not a team that's going to like, you know. See the game through, because all you're doing is giving possession back to the opposition, and the last team that you want to do that against is Manchester City, because they will punish you, and that's exactly how it worked out.
It feels good. We've had this conversation a few times this season after similar endings to matches. Is it about needing more senior figures to take responsibility? Are we lacking a little bit of a voice on the field, or what is it in those? Because obviously the quality of player is still there, but we are becoming a little bit more nervy in moments like this.
Well, I think it might be the fact that you've got a lot of new players in your starting lineup. You've got Dominic Szoboszlai playing at right full-back, which obviously that's not his number one position. I mean, we can look all day for excuses, but, you know, the quality that we have and the quality individuals and players that we have, we should be able to retain possession even when we're under so much pressure. You know, that's why you do your little rondos and your little exercises and training to like react well under pressure. And if it's one like criticism today, I didn't think we reacted well under pressure.
is the frustration away from the fact that we've conceded goals late on that have cost us points? Is the other part of it, Tomo, that you could see that this version of Manchester City have vulnerabilities in a way that some of the other ones you've come in recent campaigns maybe didn't have, and there was an opportunity, especially second half when the place got up and the tempo was up, to have won the game?
Well, that was it, because we were all enjoying it a lot more. We had a lot more possession, a lot more sort of, there was more like us, and we were taking the game to them, and we were all in the right positions, right times, and doing things. Again, coming back to, we could have made more of that final ball when we got there, whether going to the right or going to the left. Has it got the right pace on there? There's those things to it. We've done enough. Man City are not the Man City that we've said. They're still very good at keeping possession and all that, but they've become vulnerable. And although it took a worldie from Dominic to sort of do that, we did have other chances to sort of make up. And they were mainly in the second half. And that's the disappointing thing, is we've not got over the line again and got something out of a game.
Small details make a difference. I mean, you might think it's a simple five-yard pass to like the right-hand side or the left-hand side. If you go to the left-hand side and it's the wrong side, then obviously the right pass was to the right-hand side. It's only a five-yard pass. But you've got to make that decision in a split second to make the right pass. And the more often like you make the right pass, obviously the better like the outcome is. And I totally agree with Tom. I think there was times when we didn't do that. And if you don't do that on a regular basis, then you don't create the pressure, you don't create the opportunities, you don't create like the goal scoring opportunities that your play and your build-up play deserve. And as I say, if you don't do that, then ultimately you leave yourself open to counter attacks and getting punished.
Like it was like the Bournemouth game, you know, for the first half, people, oh, we've been, you know, we got beat. But at that first half, we had so many opportunities. We didn't have a shot on target until the 33rd minute, but we dominated possession, we dominated. But it was that final pass in those certain areas, in and around the box, we were trying to walk it in. We didn't even have a shot. And you're going like that, where's this going? So it's game management, making sure it is more often than not the right choice at the right time.
And I suppose that point is underlined by the fact, like with the Arsenal game here, it took a wonder strike for us to eventually break the dog. Well, for all that play, for all that positivity in the second half, it took something like that again to get the goal.
Well, it was, because you'd expected something like that in the first half, which was quite, by Liverpool Man City standards, very, very poor. You'd expect something like that, but with 15 minutes to go and scoring that, it would have given us that opportunity to control the rest of the game. And we used to be able to do it. I don't know why it is at this moment that we let things drift away from us. Maybe it's nervousness with new players being in the side, but we're certainly not seeing out games.
Do you think the manager will look at it, guys, look, you know, again, that middle bit is quite good. We're getting the ball into the right places. We're having these opportunities where it's 3-on-2 or 4-on-2 or whatever it is, and it's that one pass that's letting us down. Or will there be a growing frustration in him that it's a kind of movie he's seen a few times this season?
Well, I think there'll definitely be frustration. I think that's a good, good analogy, to be fair. It's a movie that we've seen over and over and over. You know, it's weird, isn't it? Like the shot from Wirtz in the second half, where, you know, on another day he could have put his foot through it and like really hit it with a little bit of pace. He doesn't, and then it takes a deflection. I think it went like it went out for a corner. Same like effort like midweek, was it against Carabag or like was it against Newcastle? I can't remember. More or less exactly the same shot. Just places it into the bottom corner, but it goes into the bottom corner, and you think, well, should he hit that, you know, should he have struck it with a little bit more pace or not? Well, he scored before with just placing it into the bottom corner. Yeah. Why don't you try it again? And on this occasion, it gets blocked. And again, we say like often enough, it is small margins, and like they can make the difference to like whether you like draw games, lose games or win games.
We should probably drill down into the big moments, the goals, and the goal that was then wasn't, and then was a red card. And we go ahead, Dominic does what he did against Arsenal, what he did in a different way away in Marseille. I think most people would say he's been our player of the season up until this point, and that was another huge contribution with him. And boy, can that boy hit a football.
Honestly, well, we were fortunate where we were because we had the boxes behind us, so I could see it straight away after he did it. Go have a look at it. Oh my goodness, it like literally goes straight towards Donnarumma and then veers away at probably 10 or 15 yards just before him and just moves like that so much. It was incredible. So it was a great strike. It's the technique now of the modern players, how they hit through these balls. But it was an absolutely stunning goal because, what is it about, is it 30, 35 yards from goal? And you go, it's probably maybe a little bit too far. Not for Dominic.
32 yards out he was today.
Thanks very much. Thanks for correcting me.
Just to make sure we were on there. Yeah, we've got standards today. Got to get these things exact. But no, another fabulous strike, a great contribution for him. We're in a good position. And then this sort of late show from City, the equalising goal, it's one of those, we thought there was an argument for offside, he wasn't offside. Bernardo Silva reacts really well, doesn't he, to be able to get in and just do enough to knock it past the goalkeeper.
Well, I mean, we were sat up in the stand watching it and we actually hinted on it in the build-up to the programme. Manchester City, when they get in wide areas, are so reluctant to put the ball in the box. One time they put the ball in the box, caused Liverpool all sorts of problems. Haaland gets up, wins the header, gets a little flick on, and they get a goal. I thought he looked offside, but I mean, like, obviously he wasn't because there's no complaining. And you just think, well, why don't you do that more often, Manchester City? Why don't you utilise your 6'5" centre forward like the Norse god? And you think, why don't you do it? But like, they are so reluctant to put the ball into the box. But that got them back on level terms, obviously. And then they kind of like stamped their authority on the game. And then that's when I thought we got a little bit edgy and a little bit nervous and kind of like defended a little bit deep. And a little bit like just too simply like by kicking balls up the pitch where we weren't really getting any joy from them.
And that probably got underlined by then what happened around the penalty in a position where the Man City player is allowed to get into that area, but then Alisson is also maybe not thinking clearly and makes a challenge he doesn't have to do. Yeah,
absolutely doesn't have to do. I've been trying to think since that. A game that we had and we should have had a penalty, but we kicked it and it went out of play. We had a similar one with Leeds United, with Nonto, when he, and they've kicked the ball out of play. Now, we had one and it was, and I can remember watching on the Monday morning, and they've gone, not getting the ball. He's toe-ended it and he's not getting the ball. That is the ultimate, that is the first thing that the VAR will look at. Will he regain possession? It's a big indicator. To me, he was never getting that ball. Nonto was never getting that ball when Ibu tackled him. But they deemed it a penalty. And I can't think of the game, but we didn't get one. And I thought, it's harsh. That's why I was looking at it. Yes, Ali makes contact with him, so you're going, this is going to be a penalty. Unless they deem it, he was never getting to the ball. He's just toe-ended it out of play.
And once the penalty's awarded, it's almost certain that Haaland was going to put it away, and he went on to do so. And then we get this... Well, we've used the word chaos a few times already, but it was an absolutely chaotic finale to proceedings. Alisson is out, playing up front. He stays up for the attack, does not go back. We get caught. There is a break. Cherki hits the ball from pretty much the centre circle goalwards. It has just enough pace on it to get there, but it's not got a lot of pace on it. And then we see this tussle between Dom and Erling Haaland. Both players taking in turns to tug at each other. Ultimately, neither gets a touch on the ball. It goes in. The goal is awarded. The goal is then disallowed, and a free kick is awarded for the initial tug of a shirt, which was by Szoboszlai on Haaland. He is showing a red card. As two former defenders, how do you view that chain of events? And is that one where you say it's the letter of the law, so fair enough, or it's the letter of the law and that doesn't feel right?
I think you've explained it pretty well, to be quite honest.
No, but it's basically the first incident. It's the first incident, and that's Dom pulling at Haaland. Because Haaland then pulls at Dominic, because Dominic's going to get the ball and he will clear it. But it all comes back to the very first incident, and that is Dominic having a pull. I'd rather it just have gone in the goal than Dominic, because we're short of players anyway, short of big players, and there's no bigger one than Dominic. And, well, that's it at the end of the day.
He was never going to win the foot race with Haaland. Not many people like are going to keep up with Haaland, to be quite honest with you. And you think... A player's instinct is obviously just to try and do your best to like stop him scoring, and in doing that, he's obviously got himself a red card. I think the letter of the law is like what the referee ended up like coming to. It took a little while to get like the cohesion and like the order to like to give the decision. But I think in, at the end of the day, I think it was the right decision.
Yeah,
denying of a goal scoring opportunity in theory is a one game ban that will then take him out of the match in midweek up at Sunderland. You're losing, as I touched on earlier, arguably our best player so far this season. We're also losing our standing right back at the moment. We don't have any right back, so it kind of feels it's either going to be a Joe Gomez rushed in, or it's going to be a Curtis Jones to right back, does it not?
Yeah, well, it does. Listen, it's needs must. These boys are all good players. You get midfield players. We've seen Ryan going in at centre back quite often. So if you're good and you're adaptable, and most midfield players are. So you can go in there and you can play. You're all this modern day football at fullbacks have a lot of the ball. So as you're a midfield player, you should feel very comfortable at it.
And there's a possibility as well. I think Joe Gomez is back in training as well. I'd like to see him give like Calvin Ramsey a chance, to be quite honest with you. I think that's his position. I watched him against Crystal Palace in like the Carabao Cup. I thought he played exceptionally well. And for me, it's horses for courses. It's round pegs and round holes. Why don't you give the young man a chance? Simple as. But, I mean, whether he'll play or not, I very much doubt it.
Yeah, it was Endo who slotted in against Carabao, wasn't it? Back for the bulk of that game. Excuse me. I suppose when people are looking at elements of this game, we've spoken about the fact that Alisson was caught out of his goal, caught out of his half, actually. Was that an acceptable gamble, an acceptable risk at that stage of the game, Tom? We've seen him do it plenty of times, but he did stay out of his goal for a longer
amount
of time, 10 minutes.
And the ball was coming straight into the box. That's always dangerous. It's always dangerous and it's a risk anyway. Corner kicks, I get it, but once that's over with, you need to get back because more often than not, that's going to drop to one of their players. We've seen it so many times over the years. I would have legged it back. If he was up there for the corner kick, is then forget about it, I'm on my way back. And he stayed up there. It's more nuisance value than him sort of gone, because why won't Ebu win the header? Why won't Virgil win the header? So I think after a corner kick, it's best to get back.
I'm trying to think back when you were sort of coaching, was that something you were in favour of in those desperation moments of throwing a goalkeeper up for a set piece? Not
Bruce Grobler was on the edge of the box anyway.
Talking about coaching. No, Bruce is a law unto himself. We can't qualify.
Listen, it's we said before, his needs must. And sometimes you feel that way and you look back to West Brom when Ali goes in there, and it's an incredible moment in time. That header the following year, if we'd have won the Champions League, which we probably should have done, that goal would have become immortal in that, because that earned us to get in position, the Champions League position. So it happens like that. I do get very nervous is when the ball comes out, they stay up and you're getting straight balls into the box.
I'm Ian Mulvey and I just wanted to remind you not to miss the Premier League preview show on LFC TV and All Red Video. As well as all the best pre-match stats and interviews, the show includes live coverage of the boss's pre-match press conference. Oh, and they have great guests too. So that's the Premier League preview show. It's live, usually on Friday mornings, but check the listings each week for exact timings. Up the Reds.
Frustrating result for Liverpool here today. We should probably remind you of what's happened in the Premier League across the course this weekend, and then just underline our position in the Premier League table following defeat here this evening. The Premier League fixtures began on Friday night. Leeds with a big 3-1 win over Nottingham Forest at Elland Road. Saturday lunchtime, Man United continued their winning run under Michael Carrick. They were 2-0 victors against Tottenham. It was Bournemouth 1, Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 3, Sunderland 0. Victor Gyökeres with a couple of goals for the Gunners. West Ham 2-0 winners at Burnley. Big problems for Burnley, but West Ham are on a charge under Nuno Espirito Santo. Good business in the January transfer window has helped them. Everton were 2-1 winners at Fulham. It was Wolves 1, Chelsea 3. And Brentford won up at Newcastle by 3-2 with a late goal there. Today, Crystal Palace edged a pretty nondescript game at Brighton by 1-0. And here, Manchester City were 2-1 winners. The result here at Anfield today means that City cut the gap at the top to 6 points. Arsenal still very much in the driving seat. The Reds, well, they have work to do after United and Chelsea both won this weekend. Brentford also alongside us on 39 points after their triumph over Newcastle. Down at the bottom, Leeds have climbed above Forest with their win on Friday evening. West Ham, as I mentioned, are continuing to make a fight for it. They have given themselves a real chance of climbing out of the drop zone. Yeah, bring up our fixtures to come up until the international break, just to underline what lies ahead for us and try and plot a pathway to some, well, better ground. We have work to do. I mentioned that gap to build up on Man United and Chelsea, etc. We're going to have to win a good few of these games coming up. It starts with Sunderland on Wednesday night. And I think Aldo mentioned it before they came off air from commentary, Gary. It's a case of putting together maybe 4 or 5 wins in a row in the league.
Yeah, I think obviously starting on Wednesday night, and it's not an easy place to go. I think Sunderland are still undefeated.
The only side in the Premier League who have not lost at home.
So that just emphasises how difficult it is to go up there. But that's going to have, like, we're going to have some sort of little run that not 4 or 5 undefeated, but 4 or 5 wins strung together. We play Chelsea, don't we? We play Chelsea at home. We play Man United away. So we've got both these teams to play. But it's not looking fantastic at this moment in time, you have to say, for qualification for the Champions League. You've got to throw Aston Villa into the mix there as well. They'll have something to say about it. So, it's vitally important that 4 or 5 wins strung together and then see where you are and take it from there.
On the plus side, there's every chance that fifth place in the Premier League will be worth the Champions League, but it's almost certain that'll be the case, barring an absolute collapse by all the teams in the knockout stages of the European competitions. But
so we're clutching.
We still have work to get fifth. That's the reality. It's not a case of we need a run of results regardless of where we end up having to benchmark ourselves.
Manchester United having a new manager bounce. They're getting results. Chelsea, new manager bounce. They're sort of turning the corner. We need to get ourselves moving. It's must-win games now. I think we're at that point, although probably got another third of the season to go. It's literally at that. We need to put a string of results. Draws, here and there for certain games, but I think going up to Sunderland, and Gary's right, it is a difficult place. They do sit back. They play on set pieces. They are rough you up. I think that it'll be a good start. If we can have the right mentality up there and come away with 3 points, it'll be a good start.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because if you win today, it's a different prospect going up there, isn't it? To the stadium. I think you're on a high, you're a little bit buoyant, you're full of confidence. You lose here today in the manner in which we've lost, then there's a little bit of trepidation, I think, from everybody, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the players, and especially the fans as well. So it just shows you that, it's not an easy game, this football.
It's certainly not. And when you look at the workload of the teams who are sort of in a battle with, if you want to call it that, between now and the international break, the one noticeable difference in amongst all the sides, it's Manchester United, who don't have the same workload as us because they only have the Premier League to focus on. All the other sides, there or thereabouts us, have got far more on the plate at the moment.
Well, you say that, but I mean, you'd far rather be in the Champions League, wouldn't you, than not be in the Champions League. So I think you've got to take that on board. And yeah, I mean, I think it is a massive advantage for them. But I'm sure if you asked any Manchester United fan or coach or player, they would rather be in the Champions League with an opportunity to go and win the Champions League.
But it's going to help them qualify. I think that's the big thing, what we're talking about. Not having as many games, they will look more and more as out-and-out favourites and we all get that. Now, I think the Champions League, we look better in the Champions League, PSV apart. We look more suited to that, the way we play. But the likes of Manchester United will make it easier because you can work on the training grounds. You will get rest in between matches, 2 and 3 days rest, so you'll be right pepped up. So it is, we've got a lot of work to do.
It's interesting with Manchester United because they've had this bounce of Michael Carrick coming in, and there have been a few false dawns at Manchester United before, and this may very well be another one of them, but it does look like there's more of the old Manchester United about the way they're playing, or is it too early to kind of make that suggestion?
I've seen Manchester United, they've not been great, but they're getting the results, and it happens. There's a little bit of confidence. The manager goes, players, they're back to a little bit. They never looked like they had the right players to play the 3-4-3 formation. They just never did. So it was always going to be hard to function like that. So the players are not believing in it. That's a lot of the problem, no matter what. And now them going back to sort of four at the back, look a lot more comfortable, and that's where they're looking different, because they can work at that now.
That is sort of separate to what happens here. Of course, Liverpool have to focus on the task now, which is getting their own results together and winning a series of games. We sort of mentioned the fact it's Sunderland next. It won't be easy. They're at high energy, Gary, up and at you, especially at home. It's not going to be a walk in the park. Now, I don't know, maybe there's an argument that that will bring the best out of this group if we can respond in the right way. You know, you want somewhere where they're going to come at you and not sit back, and it'll certainly be full throttle.
Well, hopefully it brings the best out of us. I think it just shows you like the variances that you face like on a game-to-game basis. You know, you come up against a very technical like Manchester City side. Not to say like that Sunderland aren't technical, but they're far more robust, they're far more probably direct, utilise their strengths. Balls from wide areas will get thrown into the box. Throw-ins will be taken, like long throw-ins. You've got to defend second balls. Whereas, like we just made the reference, Manchester City, they're very reluctant to throw the ball into the box. Sunderland won't be on Wednesday night. You'll have to have like the likes of Kanate and Virgil van Dijk being very, very strong, winning their headers. But most of all, defending second place in second
phase. We need to react to things and when we play up there, because if you remember the game here, the goalkeeper in his own half, 10 yards in his own half, in wide positions, the centre-backs were going all the way up and they were diagonal balls into the box looking for knockdowns and everything. It's at that point where we should be better in transition into trying to hit them on the break. But we certainly didn't do enough here. We were very, very slow and to react and things. And you just look at it and you're... We have got to be better.
I just wonder, they've got some good players, you know, Brian Brobbey, Enzo Lefebvre, James Dean Talby. They've got players who can cause problems for you. But I think the biggest thing about Sunderland at home, it's so high energy. It can be a bit chaotic at times, frenzied at times. We've spoken about the fact that we haven't this season done well in that kind of atmosphere. How do you go about preparing yourself now as a group for that kind of, you know, environment?
Listen, we're Liverpool Football Club. We need to react. You know, we've been beaten by Manchester City. We got beat by Manchester United here and shouldn't have lost that game. And I just think, as players, you have to react. You have to go. You literally know what you're going to get at Sunderland. You know, we've played them already. It is long balls. It is physical. We've got to meet that. But we've got to be better. As you say, when we do turn over, we've got to make sure we are clinical at that other end. And Arne Slot said to it, at both ends today, we've been sloppy. We don't win the header in our box. You get punished. And Ali makes that. And then in the other end of the pitch, we've not been clinical enough.
You also need spirit, determination, fight. And we saw that in that last-minute stop by Fede Chiesa in the game here, which prevented that draw becoming a defeat. It's an interesting spell for the Reds manager, Arne Slot. Frustrated, no doubt, by the result today. What has he made of this match against Manchester City? Let's find out. He's inside, speaking with Pete.
Well, boss, it's a real sickener, having been so encouraged by that second half, to come in here with 0 points, and I'm sure that's how you feel right now as well.
Yeah. Yeah, first half when we went in, it felt good that it was 0-0 because they were the better team. So usually when the other team is better, you can also be a goal down, which we were, and they didn't create that much chances apart from the first minute when Haaland had a good chance. But we showed a completely different second half because we've improved so much physically that we were able to press them the second half even more aggressive than we did the first half. And that led to dominance, chances, a goal. But again, it wasn't enough to bring the win over the line.
Lots of frustration aside from that brilliant goal that Dom scores, around maybe some big decisions that didn't go our way. How big did you feel that one was on Mo Salah and Mark Gay just prior to the goal?
Yeah, I don't think decisions need to go your way, as in that they have to go in your favour. You just have to look at it, okay, make the fair and right decision. And as much probably everyone who likes football feels, okay, let's, in the 3-1 incident, let's just leave the goal for what it is. He should make the decision based on the rules of football. And if the rules of football say it should be a red card, it should be, because this is for Sunderland a good thing that Dominic is suspended. So I don't like it as like this, but I can live with the fact that they follow the rules. But if they follow the rules, in my opinion, it should have been a clear red card on Mo Salah as well, because everybody knows if you play a through pass to Mo Salah, and everybody who's been in the stadium for so many years knows this is a goal for Mo.
Are you encouraged, though? I mean, the improvements that you've seen, particularly in the last couple of games, to think that, you know, you hold your own against City and more than, and then you're dominant in periods as well. That game could have quite clearly gone our way with a few different things that happened.
Yeah. Even after the 1-1, there was a transition moment where Curtis Jones had the ball, and Mo made the run in behind, and it happened just in front of me. And if that ball is in behind, then I think we go 2-1 or 3-1 to the goalkeeper. But Guéhi intercepted it, and not many moments later, they play a ball in behind in a position where the fullback did not have much to do anymore. But Eddie was there. He played the ball first. The ball was over the line. Then they collided. It was a bit similar than the penalty we conceded against Leeds. And then all of a sudden you're 2-1 down. So the margins are so small. And these players and our fans, by the way, would deserve so much more that these margins once in a while go in our favour, because they've worked again so hard, played so well the second half. Fans were constant help throughout the whole game, but definitely also the second half. And the end result is not a loss.
Yeah, you can hear and see the frustration of the manager there, and that's understandable, Tom. He's right, there have been a lot of situations this season where it has been small margins, or moments where it has flipped the other way. All of a sudden, it's a very different picture. We made reference to it tonight. And it gets to a point as a manager where that really starts to grate on you and frustrate you more than anything else.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Obviously, Mo gets free with Guéhi. I'm trying to think if there was any covering defenders at that particular time, because it was what just between the...
His right of goal, maybe.
Yeah, it's the right of goal. But I'm saying where the deers and where the edge of the box. So it will be interesting to have a look at it again, because I didn't think at the time I was thinking, is it in the box for a penalty kick? But when I looked at it, it was outside the box. So really, they obviously get real time analysis.
I think Ruben Diaz
bench
was maybe the covering defender, or the one they would have deemed to be the covering defender.
But it's things like that. It's small margins which are going against us. The Nonto one at Leeds, which obviously Arna said there, that was similar. There's no way he's getting the ball. He's literally, Nonto was about 12 inches away from the byline and knocks it straight out, which was quite astonishing. But again, as we say, officials, some officials never played the game and they're just going on what they see, and it does a collision.
And also, I guess, Gary, taking a step back, you've almost got to earn your own luck, haven't you? You do enough to take it away from that kind of thing happening. You score a second goal, you control the tempo of the game. That's the other argument to it. And I guess the way he and everyone has to look at it if they're going to get out of this little run of stop-start results.
Well, there's an old adage in golf, like the more you practice, the luckier you get. sometimes that can be the case, that the harder you try and like the train, like obviously the luckier you get. But, you know, it does seem... I mean, even from a pundit's point of view, like when you think about all the decisions and late goals that have gone against us, it is thin margins. But unfortunately, they've all gone against us, and you've got to deal with that and just get on with it and try and correct it, and obviously make these thin margins irrelevant, and go and try and win the game like we did against Newcastle, like quite comfortably, and score like more than one goal.
For all our audience, Gary must practice an awful lot of golf, because I'm told he's very lucky. I guess taking a step back, you know, we've had dips this season and difficult moments this season, but we go back to our pre-match discussions today, Tomo. We're playing better now than we have done previously at points. We had a real problem about November time. We weren't playing well. We're playing better than that now. We have to kind of remind ourselves of that.
And it is, and we have to look at that, because some of the football at times wasn't good, but we still, and you become, there's a lot of doubters came back again and not enough believers. And you're just seeing that was changing. First half didn't have you believing, by the way, because I don't think it was good enough. But certainly the second half, there was a lot there to like. There was a lot more, and there was a lot more chances coming in. I think Gary said the one Vert, you know, the one against Newcastle, he scuffs into the bottom corner more or less. This one, he probably gets a bit more purchase, and you know, he had a lot of the goal to aim at and gets deflected wide. Little things like that don't go your way, but again, you have to earn the right to have that look.
You certainly do. Gentlemen, thank you for your company here at Anfield. Thank you for being with us on The Reaction. We're back after Wednesday night's trip up to the Stadium of Light as Liverpool take on Sunderland in the Premier League. If you're not yet, then please give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Bye for now.